This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to the Horses in the Morning Show on the Horse Radio Network for November 29th, 2012, episode 541. Good morning, Horse World. Well, as you know, we're now live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and today we bring you a highlight show from the Horse Radio Network to enjoy. If you caught this one already, please feel free to join us again live tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Jamie, Jennifer, and I will be back. And of course, tomorrow is Friday, so it is really bad ads day. And we are giving away this week a gift pack from Redmond Rock. Redmond Rock is our favorite mineral block for our horse, and also most of the hosts on the Horse Radio Network use the Redmond Rocks for their horses. Over 60 different minerals, and these are naturally mined. They're not all compressed, and you know who knows what they got in them, like those white blocks do. These are cut right out of the mine. They come looking like a rock to you, but the horses absolutely love them. Horses that don't normally like salt bricks will love these things. I tell you what, we haven't found any that we know of that have not liked them. And you can find them at redmondequine.com. Redmondequine.com is the website. So get on Craigslist today. It's your last day to send your entries in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. That's Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. And we'll be giving one of those away tomorrow. Well, today we have for you the driving radio show that came out this week, episode number 73 that Wendy and I did. It's called Driving Snow Angels. And we ask for your help in this episode, and we hope you do. I'll post it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning as well. And that's for driver, adventurer, and a friend of the Horse Radio Network, Hardy Zenke. He tells a heartwarming story about his grandson and his quest to drive a dog sled in Antarctica. So we would love for you to become involved and vote for Hardy in this competition. He's number one in the United States. We're trying to keep him that way. He's a great guy, and he's doing this for a great cause. So we hope that he wins this contest and that you help him along the way. And, you know, Wendy also has some holiday gift picks in this episode, too, that I think you'll find entertaining. So enjoy this episode of the Driving Radio Show. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, live on Horses in the Morning. This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 73 of the Driving Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, Driving Snow Angels. This week's sponsors are the American Driving Society at www.americandrivingsociety.org and Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. Also, Charles Owen at charlesowen.com.
I am Glenda Geek.
And I'm Wendy Ying, and you're listening to the Driving Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Well, howdy, Wendy.
Hi, Glenn.
Are you back home again?
I'm back home again. I'm loving it here in Sarasota.
Did you have a good holiday?
I had a great holiday. I spent Thanksgiving with some very dear friends of mine up on the Panhandle, and we had fried turkey, and they're also fun dressage people, so we had horsey activities and we had a great time.
Terrific. Yeah. Well, it was fun when we got to come down and visit you last week and do the show by your pool. So that was a lot of fun, and I think people enjoyed hearing answers to emails. So that was something that we did that was a little different. If you missed that, just check out last week's show. But I think we should get right to it this week because we have a lot of things to do this week.
We do.
We have coming up Susie from the American Driving Society. Then we have Hardy Zenke. You remember we had him on episode number 52 talking about the German training scale.
Right, yeah.
Well, we're having him back today because he's in a contest that we want to talk to him about and see a little bit more about that, and it does involve driving. So,
it does. Yep,
we have part four of our helmet series with Charles Owen, and also we have some holiday picks that you might be able to use for holiday gifts for the driver this year. Wendy's just picking out fun stuff that she kind of likes, and we're going to do that over the next couple of weeks too. So a little bit of the holiday spirit this week. So let's get started, Wendy, right away with Susie from the American Driving Society. Well, hi, Susie, and welcome back to the show.
Hi, Glenn.
It's good to have you back on from the American Driving Society. What are we talking about this week?
Well, you know, we just had Thanksgiving, and I hope everybody got a chance to spend a lot of time driving and enjoying their horses and thinking of things. And I had an interesting conversation with a member on the phone the other day, and it got me thinking about things that, you know, we're all thankful for through the sport of driving. And I think one of the biggest things that we're thankful for is some of the relationships that we've made with people and people that you would never get a chance to meet, and how the driving community tends to be very open and inviting and supportive of new members and things like that. I had this member call, and she told me this wonderful story. She said that one day she was driving down the road in her town, which isn't a driving mecca. There aren't a lot of people that drive in her area. And she was driving down the road, and she noticed a pickup truck parked in a local restaurant. And she, you know, said, oh, my God, I can't believe who's got a marathon vehicle on the back of their pickup truck, you know. So her curiosity got the better of her, and she pulled into the place and went inside and picked out the people that she thought might have had this carriage on the back of their truck.
Isn't it funny how we know who the horse people are?
You know, you can't.
Just spot them.
And it's not
hay on
them. That's right.
It's, you know, and there's some other distinctive mark. Anyway, so she picked out the right people, and she went up and she struck a conversation with them. Turns out they were close by her in the area, and they developed a relationship. And this woman was new to driving, and she didn't quite have all the equipment yet to get herself to shows and events and clinics and things like that. So these people loaned her a horse trailer that she used for 2 years so that she could get to different driving events. I mean, how fabulous is that?
Yeah, that is neat.
It's great. It's incredible. Who would do that?
Yeah. I mean, a horse trailer.
So nice.
That's worth, you know, a few bucks. And, you know, for somebody just to say, here, go ahead and, you know, use this so you can become part of the driving community. I mean, that's pretty fabulous.
Obviously, we cover all aspects of the horse world here on the Horse Radio Network. And I talk to people from, you know, from all sides and all countries. And I do think that, and with my experience in the past too, with drivers tend to be, I think because we're such a small group too, and such a unique group, and have a requirement to have more stuff than others, that we tend to want to help each other out more. Plus, it's just kind of a unique beast, I think. I know when we got, you know, when I met Jennifer, I was a horse husband. I don't know a darn thing about horses. And I rode for a while and didn't like riding all that much. So for my involvement with horses at that point, being a horse husband with a big stable, we had probably 20, 25 horses at that time, was cleaning stalls and fixing fence. You know, that was my typical beginner horse husband thing. And then when Jennifer said, you should try driving. Well, then when I got into driving and really liked it and joined the Red Rose Driving Club is when I really started to embrace horses more than just being, you know, work and things that eat you out of house and home. It's when I started to enjoy horses when we started driving with the Red Rose Driving Club. And some of my fondest memories of horses now involve going on those drives with the Red Rose Driving Club in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. so that really got me into horses rather than just being a horse husband.
Well, that's the great thing about driving is, you know, it can take a lifetime to learn to ride, and some people don't want to ride. But this way you could enjoy it. But, I mean, you could just get in the cart and go.
And I don't know if it's good or not. You know, I didn't have any formal training. You know, I learned as I went. I had a pony that taught us, actually.
Right.
Every time we did something wrong, she'd throw her head. And then I'd keep experimenting until she stopped throwing her head, and that meant I got it right. And it was true. Everything I learned from that pony. And I miss that pony.
Aww.
You know, it's you're right about that, Susie. I think that is true.
It's just amazing. I mean, the stories that I hear and people call up. I've had a woman call up that said she went to an event. She drives all the way to this event. It was like an 8-hour drive. Gets all the way there, realizes she forgot all of her show clothes. She had nothing to wear, you know. And you know, it was a show that was not exactly remote, but you know, who can go run and find an outfit, you know, come back, you know, especially when you're showing a pair. Right. And the woman in the trailer right next door to her said, "Oh, I have tons of things. They'll probably fit you. Come into my closet." Loaned her a complete outfit, everything. She ended up getting a 10 in presentation. First time she's ever gotten that. And, you know,
she stole the outfit.
Actually, I think the lady actually gave it to her and said, "Here you go." And, but, you know, not only did she get an outfit and a 10 on presentation, but I bet you she also got a really lifelong friend out of that whole experience, you know.
Right.
What's the worst thing you ever forgot, Wendy?
I think I forgot my bridle once. That's pretty bad. Yeah.
You know, we had a tack shop for a long time, and we used to go to shows. And at the riding shows, you would be shocked how many people show up at the show without their girth. We sold more girths than anything else. Because it just seems like something that riders can forget is a girth. But
I think the most common thing that drivers forget is either their reins or a collar. I've had another member call up and she said she was going to her first show, and you know, she gets there, unloads the horse, realizes she forgot her collar. She has nothing to go with, you know, her harness. And there was a gentleman there that had a trailer full of collars. He must have had like 10 or 15 different collars. So they found one that fit, and then you know, it went with her harness, but not really, you know. So he said, why don't you just use my harness that I have here, too? You know, so he loaned her the whole harness, everything, collar, the whole nine yards, so she could have a great first experience showing.
That's really awesome.
You know where I think you see a little bit of that, too, to be fair, is more so than the other disciplines is on the eventing side. And I think it's because, again, the eventers have so much equipment they need for, you know, three disciplines. That they tend to, it's very easy when you're an eventer to forget something because you are setting up for three disciplines. So we tend to see that too with the eventing side. And the same with drivers with combined driving.
Oh, with all kinds of driving. I mean, drivers really are the kings and queens of accessories.
I got to tell a funny story, Susie. We went down to visit Wendy last weekend. And the spare room is the hat room. You should see how many hats this girl has. She has a lot of hats.
I need them.
I can only imagine. I must confess, I do have more hats than I have ponies. So, you know, that is a little bit of an addiction.
I think drivers, you know, you guys are the Imelda Marcos of hats, the driving women. Tend to have a lot of hats.
Well, it's the only time you can really wear those. You know, I never felt confident in a hat until I met this one woman that was a hat vendor at a show. And I just went up to her and I was like, you know, I hate wearing a hat. I always feel like a little dumpling in a hat. You know, I just don't feel like I look good. And she's like, she just looked me straight in the eye and said, "You haven't found the right hat." And she proceeded to show me a hat, put it on my head. I was like, oh my goodness, that actually works. I was shocked. And then I was in a hat booth one time and I tried on this hat. And this lady out of the blue didn't know me from Adam, you know, had no idea who I was. She looked at me and she goes, "Oh, that hat would look perfect if you had a halflinger." I'm like, sold. I got one in the bar.
Well, now I got to ask you guys, is with all these hats you own, and Wendy owns a few. With all of these hats you own, is there still a favorite that you go to all the time? And then the ones you never wear?
Yes.
Yes, it's true. It's like shoes or anything else. You know, I think that's human nature.
It's one that you buy on, gee, I should do this, and then you never get to this part because you never get the lap robe made or whatever to match the whole thing. Or, you know, you sell the horse that you bought it for. but you can't part with a hat, you know. That's...
And only drivers would understand, right, Wendy, that you're buying a hat to match the horse.
Well, I don't necessarily do that.
Okay. All right.
I buy my hats because I like see them and they're fabulous, and then I build my outfit around them, and then I wear them. And I don't care what horse I'm driving.
The heck with the horse, I look good.
Yeah, because I think, you know, I don't think you need to match. I don't necessarily think you need to match that. Because what you're wearing is your outfit for the day. Like, you're not going to match your car. You know, you're not going to match your sweater to your car because your outfit changes every day that you drive. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep, yep.
And your hat's your clothes, where your lap robe is part of your carriage. So your lap robe shouldn't even be considered in your outfit.
Yeah, that
Do you know
makes
what
sense.
I'm saying?
Yeah,
so the lap robe sense. Matches the carriage and the horse, but your outfit is like, if you were walking down the road and you got into this carriage, you wouldn't be like, oh, I can't get in there because, you know, I'm wearing red and that carriage is maroon, which actually would look bad. I mean, that would look bad. But, and that's why they only have black carriages. But you should be able to change your outfit for whatever, for the day, for the occasion, you know, for whatever. That's how I look at it. And that could be wrong, but
I think
Missy Wrigley and Katie Whaley are my idols. So that's how I go.
I think I have something in the back of my head all the time that somebody once said to me that I really took to heart. And they said, you know, you're going to a horse show. The horse is the star. Make your horse be the star.
Well, I mean.
So I always think about that.
Yeah. I mean, your horse has to look good. That's for sure.
Yeah. Helps if you brush him.
Yeah.
And on that, we'll leave you go there, Susie. Thank you. So what a fun conversation today. Thank you so much. Of course, you can find the American Driving Society at americandrivingsociety.org. Thanks a lot, Susie. We'll talk to you again next week. Well, that was a fun little chat. You know, it brings back memories. Are you a believer in everybody has a lifetime horse?
I think so.
And
I know
dog.
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I think everybody does. Especially the way you talk about Piper. I mean, for sure, she's your lifetime horse.
Yep. That's right. And, you know, lifetime dog, I'm kind of not sure. I think I had one, but, you know, lifetime dog, you're always thinking, well, the next one, you know? So
yeah.
That's a tough
one. But what about Glory? I love Glory.
Yeah,
she's
Glory's
great.
A lot of fun. You know, she's a lot of fun. But I had this little mutt of a dog when we had our farm by the name of Shaky Jake, and his teeth stuck out the front, and he was kind of ugly. He was half Pomeranian, half Pekingese. Nobody else liked him, but he was my dog, you know?
Yeah.
And he would hang around with me, and he was the funniest little dog. We'd put him out in the fields, and he was, you know, he was about the size, a little smaller than your dog, actually, height-wise.
Yeah.
And the horses would chase him around the field, and he loved that. Now, you know, one step, and he would have been dead. But
right.
But he was too wily for that. He'd never get stepped on. But, yeah, he was something else. So, yeah, I think we all have that. So did you have your lifetime horse yet?
Oh, yeah, Duke.
Duke, yeah.
The pretty black one, yeah. Because, like I always say, that, you know, when I was trying to do the WEG thing and I was training with Michael Freund and Peter Tischer, you know, they're like serious Germans, right? And they kept saying, why don't you take Duke out of this team and be so much easier? And I kept saying, well, but all these other horses are just Duke's My Pretty Pony accessories. So I can't take Duke out of the team. What's the fun in that? So... I mean, I love him. He's my pet, and I have all these other horses because I drove him single, and then I thought he'd look great pair because he had his brother pair, and we went tandem, and we went four in hand. So that Duke, what's the point?
Yeah, that's true. I think we do get that way with our special horse. They become more of our pet. You know, we've had a lot of horses over the years. I think you have more horses if you're in the business and you know you're serious and you have a barn full of horses. You have a lot of horses that you really like,
right?
But then you have your pet. You know, there are certain ones that become pets. That's a good way to put it, I think.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's why I love training with Randy and Katie Cadwell, because they're the ones that even said that. They coined that phrase for me. They're like, you love driving your pets and going to shows with your pets, and we want to help you do that. And they make it fun for me no matter what my goals are. If it's like, you know, aspirations to get to a world championship with my pet or just having fun with my pet, they don't care.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to speaking of drivers. Can you tell us a little bit about Hardy Zenke? We had him on episode 52 of our show talking about the German training scale. But Hardy's been driving forever.
He's been driving forever. He actually he lives in California in Los Angeles, and he and his wife had a shipping business, a horse shipping business, and then they got into, and she's actually a dressage rider. Then they got into driving, and Hardy was a pairs driver at the FEI level, and he also drove team. And they drove these big warm bloods. They would travel all over the country because, you know, when you're in California, you have to come east for the shows. And they would go on the road with the horses. And now he's one of our most favorite judges in the United States, and he's also judged at World Championships internationally. And he's also a very big supporter of the Driving for the Disabled. So he's a big part of our driving world.
And apparently he's quite the adventurer. Who knew? We're going to find out what kind of adventures he's been taking and which one he wants to take right after this word from Kentucky Performance Products. Choosing a supplement can be confusing. How do you know which ones are right for your horse? Kentucky Performance Products will simplify your search for effective, research-proven supplements that meet the challenges of today's horses. And this week's highlight product is Contribute Omega-3 Fatty Acid Supplement. The properties of omega-3 fatty acids benefit every system in your horse's body. Contribute improves breeding efficiency in mares and stallions, maintains soundness and protects joints from damaging inflammation, sustains a strong immune response in horses of all ages, and decreases the levels of inflammation in your horse's body by sustaining adequate omega-3 fatty acid levels. Learn more about Contribute Omega-3 Fatty Acid Supplement and all the other products at kppusa.com. That's Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. Well, hi, Hardy, and welcome back to the show.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Wendy. I'm happy to be back with you guys.
Now, last time we talked about a lot about driving, and we're going to get to that a little bit because this contest involves driving in a way, too. But first, when I saw you post this on your Facebook page and started looking around, and then I saw this little thing that you wrote, I love the outdoors and adventure, skiing, hiking, blah, blah, blah. I would like to experience driving a team of dogs in the snow. I overcame my fear of heights by skydiving, went on a sailing trip on a tall ship, trekked in Patagonia, and rode in Mongolia. We didn't know all that stuff about you. When did you become the adventurer?
Well, that only happened lately in life. Actually, when I retired from active competition with the horses, and the horses are retired, now I have the time. I'm retired. I always sailed in my life, and I always had adventure in my blood. But during the time with the horses, the cross-country trips with three horses in the trailer and just my wife and me and two carriages, that was adventure too. But now, hey, guys, when I was young, I had a family to raise. I had a business to run. I either didn't have money or I didn't have time. Now, all of a sudden, I have both, and I still have the adventure in my blood, and I still can do it. So now is the time to do it before I'm in an old retirement home one day.
You're not
there
yet.
You'll never be in an old retirement home.
Yeah, not yet. So I'm always game for any new adventures.
Now,
and I always wanted to experience driving a team of dogs. It's totally different driving, but we get to that in a minute.
Yeah,
but
tell us first.
I'm not quite ready for the Iditarod. you know, you don't go to a world championship when you haven't driven before. So I needed to get going somehow. And if I can, I try to stay away from only tourist stuff, you know, where you are catered to, where they serve breakfast on a silver platter. I don't want that. I want the true stuff. When I did the sailing trip on a tall ship, we were sail trainees. We worked our shifts. We were in the rigging. We did the total thing. And yes, here the Fjällräven people, they want to show with their equipment that any ordinary person with the right equipment and with the right guidance can do it. So when I saw this stuff, I said, hey, this sounds like my thing to do.
Well, before we get to that, one of the things Wendy mentioned before we started was that she's always wanted to ride in Mongolia. Tell us about that.
Oh, I loved that. I went with a German friend who has been going there quite often, and we did a riding trip for about 2 weeks with local guides, with the local ponies. We stayed in our, had our own little tents along, stayed overnight, and it's little ponies, the Mongolians, but it's a huge country. The country Mongolia is about, what, 1/4 the size of the United States and has a total of about 3 million people in it. 1 million lives in the capital, Ulaanbaatar. Another million lives in little other villages or cities. And the rest million, 1/3 of the population, and only 1 million people are still true nomads. They go with their herd of animals from grazing ground to grazing ground. And, okay, modern time encroaches, so the young guys, they jump on their motorcycle in the morning to round up the herd, whereas the old guys still do it on horseback. And we wanted to experience that. They live totally off the land. You need to leave hygiene, Western hygiene ideas totally behind. I mean, the I know Americans are not fond when they go to European competitions, world championship, and see the German guys, after drinking beer, just go behind the next tree. In Mongolia, you know, there are nomads. There are no toilets. There are no trees either.
Oh, so that's true, isn't it?
It's just the empty plain. So the men go right here, and the women go, well, 5 feet away.
Yeah. You can go behind your pony. You can hide behind your pony.
Yeah. No, nobody thinks anything about it. So you got to leave Western hygiene behind. You wash in the little creek. You take the water out of the creek for cooking. And when Yoda wanted, my wife was with me, when she wanted to go down to wash a little bit, I said, hey, Yoda, why don't you wait a little bit? Look upstream, there's the big cow just going in the creek. So you got to wait till that's passed. But the trip elsewise, it's nature. It's unbelievable because there are no fences. There are no roads out in the countryside, and these little animals, the little ponies. They don't like to call them ponies. They call them horses. But those are the guys that and the animals that Genghis Khan conquered all over Asia and including to Europe.
Right.
He did it with those guys, and they are still tough like you won't believe.
I have a question. How did you talk your wife into this trip?
I think it was her idea in the first place.
Oh.
and because we had this German friend doing it when we talked about it, she said, well, maybe one day we go along. And me, adventure, I said, sure, let's do that. And then when it came time to actually do it, she looked at me. She got a little cold feet then. And she looked at me and said, you, Zanke, you know, you, I can hardly get your butt in the saddle here at home. You'd rather be on the carriage. How do you think you survived that? 5, 6, 8 hours of riding every day. Well, I said, well, if others can do it, I can do it. I then thought, oh, you know, I either go a lot walking or I go a lot of cantering or galloping, because trotting, you know, that gets hard on your butt. but it was an issue. And Yuta is right. I have done some riding, but not that much.
Right.
But they some of them are gated. And if you stand up in the 2-point position and you can trot along, it's really easy. The saddles were a little hard because those were old Russian military saddles on which they just put a sheepskin.
Yeah.
And the ponies, some of them were fairly wild. And of course, they are not. You got to give them their head. You know, they are not. Yeah. They are not on the bit. You can't get them round or any of that stuff.
They don't go inside leg to outside hand.
No. you just go with the flow. You know?
You sit there. Your job is to sit there.
and they are hardy. As I say, we went for, 10 days or so?
Yeah.
We didn't have any equipment for them alone. Those guys haven't seen a hoof pick ever. No brushes, nothing. Yeah. Besides their halter, a long lead rope, and that's it, because at night they go out grazing, whatever they can find, and there isn't much, no feed for them alone. They got to fend for themselves.
Wow.
If there is water in the stream, fine, but and usually the grass is very sparse, but one day we were up in the mountains where it became, the grass was very lush up there. And I said, oh, my God, they have them out on this half an hour. They're all going to colic.
Right.
Nothing. And up there, there was green grass, but then there was no water for, like, I don't know, 18 hours or so.
Does right. this mean you're going to be in the Mongol Derby next year? You ready for that?
Nope. Nope, but he saw it.
Oh, my God.
This young kid.
I'm ready for the Mongol Derby. Now I know who to call for my adventure.
And, that's right.
And if you want to go over, yeah, I can give you the contact. Sure. Yeah.
Great.
We rode with a Mongolian tour guide who and had the horses from her father and her family. But she's a very educated woman. She speaks 5 languages.
I have to think about it for a while because I don't really camp.
Yeah, that would be tough.
This would be like a real shock.
And for those that haven't heard about it, the Mongol Derby, which is in some of the territory that you rode through, is actually a 1,000-mile race. It's called the toughest horse race in the world. You ride the Mongol horses. You ride their horses. But yep. you're going 1,000 kilometers, and you actually stop at 25 different stations, and you actually switch horses 25 different times.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, so it's a huge, grueling race. I mean, it is a grueling race. But yeah, you have to be the best of the best in endurance riding to even be considered to do it. But
I think none of us would make that.
No,
we wouldn't make it.
Usually it's young kids.
Yep.
And also like jockeys that don't weigh much. The 14-year-olds, those are the guys that win it.
Yeah.
We'd need like rickshaw to take us most of the way.
Well,
so Hardy, tell us about Finn and why you're doing this trek.
Now the with the dog sled.
With the dog sled.
Tell us about your grandson.
Okay, because it's still driving. It's adventure. It's something completely different than what we are normally doing. But since I love animals and since I love driving with horses, I want to see how is this done. No reins, only voice command. Certainly no bending, no roundness,
no
dressage, no cones. Sounds to me like a 4-day marathon with plenty of obstacles on the way. Yeah.
Well, let's clarify for people. You're in a contest that's put out by a company, a sportswear company in Sweden.
Yes, in Sweden.
And we would say the name of it, but none of us can pronounce it. But what it is a contest, and then you actually win the ability to go do this dog sled in the Arctic Circle. Correct.
That's correct.
All right.
The Swedish clothing manufacturer and outdoor equipment manufacturer, Fjällräven, they were inspired by the Iditarod, seeing that. And they said, hey, we can do this at home. We're between Norway and Sweden. And they put it up as, of course, certainly to get publicity out of this for their equipment. But they want to prove that ordinary people without any special training can do this with the right guidance and with the right equipment, which they will provide. 10 countries are open to votes on Facebook, and the winner out of each country who gets the most Facebook votes from his friends or the general public will automatically go. And then Fjällräven's jury will choose a second participant out of every country. So total 20 people will go. It's in April, and it's a dog sled trip over 200 miles and 4 days with their guidance. hey, and I thought that sounds like game. I want to do that. I want to be the winner for the United States, and I came out with a strong lead. But number two is starting to encroach on me, so I really need some more votes here.
But you have a special reason for doing this, and I followed you for your first Facebook campaign for Angelman syndrome, and your grandson Finn is your inspiration. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my grandson Finn has Angelman syndrome, and if you watch my entry on the Fairhaven site, I put a little video up there giving some of the reasons there. They want to prove that with the right guidance and the right equipment, anybody can do that. I want to add to that, and I think besides the right equipment, the right guidance, always in life, you also got to have the right attitude. Because if you have the right attitude, anything can happen. And my grandson Finn with Angelman syndrome, he is proving that every day. He can't talk. And he can have seizures, and when he was diagnosed, my world came to an end. But in the meantime, this guy has proven to me, he has opened more doors than he closed. That little kid has proven to me that he can be the greatest joy in our lives, despite his handicap. So any challenge that we have can be overcome with the right attitude. And I think that's a very important lesson in life for all of us. And I was inspired to that already before I had my grandson, when I worked with our handicapped drivers, where Randy was just part going to their world championship in Europe recently. When I started out working with Diane Castama here in the West, she might have learned a little bit about driving from me. Every time I worked with her, I learned a lot more from her about life, having the right attitude. That woman is in her wheelchair all day long, and she's always has a positive attitude. It's smiling. There is nothing that Diane can't do.
Yeah.
And I learned from that. And I think, Wendy, you will back me up. We can all learn from the people with disabilities, because when we get down because we have whatever problems happened during the day, or so, oh man, the transmission in the car went out. Oh gosh, what do I do now? Baloney, guys. It's a piece of cake. If those guys that are in a wheelchair lifelong, if they can make it through the day with a smile, what's the transmission in the car?
Right. Yeah, it's true.
And since I met Diane, that has changed my life. And I'm glad that I met her when I did, because somehow that prepared me. Then when we had my grandson with Angelman syndrome, in the beginning when we found out something isn't quite right, I said, well, as long as everything is okay in his head, I can deal with being physically disabled. Well, everything right in his head, he thinks different. He thinks much. And we know that working with animals, we know horses think different, dogs think different. Is it up to us to decide if they are dumber? I don't think they are dumber. They only think different.
Right.
My little grandson cannot speak. The Angelman syndrome, the people can't speak. But he fluently understands two languages. We only talk German to him. He understands every word. And his parents talk English to him. He understands every word.
Yeah.
And he really does. Great. So
that's
he's
fantastic.
Not dumb.
Yeah.
And
he's so happy. He has such a positive attitude, too.
Yeah.
How old is Finn now?
Finn is 5.
5.
Five. And there are the Angelman people are working on trying to find a cure. In my video, there is a website for the Angelman Association or Angelman Society, FAST, Foundation for Angelman Syndrome Therapy. We are financing right now a clinical trial with a medicine that is already FDA approved, where science hopes that it will provide a breakthrough And that was really financed by our last Facebook contest 2 years ago, where Wendy and others and all my horse friend helped so enthusiastically too, for which I'm still very grateful. And the clinical trial isn't over yet, so it's too early to talk about any results. But so there's always hope. And that's the next thing also that we always need to keep in mind. Hope has no boundaries. Positive attitude, working with what we have and going forward. And that's so important in the horse world too, when we drive our horses. Looking forward in a positive way.
Well, Hardy, I have to thank you for helping me waste an hour this morning, because when I went to look at your video and then got on the website, and by the way, you have a lot of competitors from all over the world for this contest.
I know.
But I got to watching everybody's videos, and it was very interesting because some people really put a lot of effort into these videos, and they were, some of them were funny and some of them were serious, and you know, it was fun to watch.
Absolutely.
But you're leading in the United States, but as you said, number two is coming on quickly, so we need to get you some votes. So what we'd like our listeners to do is go to our Facebook page at Driving Radio Show, and we have posted a link because it's kind of a complicated website to spell here. So you'll never remember it.
But we can't spell it.
But go to our Facebook page at Driving Radio Show, or go to our website at drivingradioshow.com for this episode, and we'll post a link to it there as well. And go there and vote for Hardy, so that he's doing this for a great cause, and also doing it just because he wants the adventure of it. Who wouldn't want to drive a dog sled? I think that sounds so much fun. Now, I'm guessing that in this Arctic trip of yours, there's going to be no bathrooms again. There seems to be a trend with your trips here, Hardy.
And guys, to all my horse friends, I also promise if I go on the trip, I will write an article about it afterwards in the magazine of the American Driving Society in the WIP for its over 3,000 members.
Okay.
So I'll tell you all how it went afterwards if I'm on. So I need your vote. Get me on.
That is if his fingers aren't totally frostbitten and fallen off by the time he gets back.
I know. But you'll still have fun. It'll be great.
It's going to be a good time. Well, Hardy, we wish you the best of luck with it. We're going to get you there. We're going to help get you there.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn. I really appreciate it. You guys are great friends.
And
all my horse friends and my Angelman friends. I am so grateful to have such a large group of friends. It's heartwarming to see that.
Well, now you have to do us all a favor if we vote for you, and that's give Finn a hug for us, okay?
I will certainly do that.
All right, very good. So did he talk you right out of going, Wendy? That
completely.
Hygiene, the peeing behind the horse? And
completely. I actually said after we went to Italy, we went to Rome for a championship, I was like, I'm never going back to Europe for a horse show. There's like no toilet paper. You have to bring your own toilet paper.
I know, we do get spoiled here in the United States with some things, and hygiene is one of them, I think. Daily showers, some people twice a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. When I was hearing that, I was going, oh, this is so not for Wendy.
And in Rome, you think you're in Rome, right? But we're outside of Rome, and the bathrooms there were like real outhouses over a creek. And I was like, what century are we in? I had been to China. Even in China, at least if they don't have at least if they have a hole you have to squat over. In China, for the most part, at least it it's not over a stream.
We apologize to everybody eating dinner or lunch right now.
Yes, we do.
Well, that was fun. Hardy,
but that's important when you're traveling. I'm a spoiled American. I can't help it.
Well, go out and vote for Hardy. We want to vote. We would love to see you vote for him, and so we can hear about his driving a team of dogs in the snow across the Arctic. That'd be fun to hear about.
You have to vote for Hardy, and you have to, at the very minimum, watch the video. I was in tears watching the video. It's so inspiring, and let's do it for Finn. It's going to be great.
Again, we'll post it on our Facebook page at Driving Radio Show, and also I'll post it over in the American Driving Society Facebook page, or it'll be on our website at drivingradioshow.com. On this episode, you'll find a link to it. So any one of those places will have the link. Now, let's go on here. I asked you if we could, over the next couple of weeks, because we do this on all the shows, is we give some recommendations on good holiday gift picks. And in this case, it'll be for our driving friends. So you have some picked out?
Well, my number one favorite gift, which I give every year, is the Megan Bench calendar. So Megan, she's been on our show before, and she drives a pony pair, and she also won the gold medal for disabled driving, I think it was in 2008, driving a single in England, and she is a fantastic photographer, and she's actually pretty young. I mean, she's in her 20s, and she just, like, she has a great way of capturing action and also different angles that are just so incredible. And she comes out with a calendar every year that I always give as gifts, and I always keep one for myself. And I posted a link on our page because she has a site. It's on Lulu, and I posted the site on there. You can order it online. And if you put in the code that I posted, you can get it half price. But it's a bargain anyways, and it has just fantastic photographs of driving, and it also supports, you know, other people in driving that are professionals in our industry. So that was one of my favorite things. And then another one is the Himalayan Salt Lick. So that one's for your driving friends or yourself if you want to buy gifts for the people.
Now, before we go on, who's that on the cover of her calendar?
Well, that is me, Randy, on the cover.
And, so that's Randy Cadwell, right?
Yeah, Randy and Kabam. And we're in our Charles Owen helmets and vests.
And look at who's standing on the back there.
That's me. And yeah. I actually had just gotten my teeth whitened. My teeth are, like, sparkly white.
You do. So. That is one of the things I notice is it looks, they're like, you know how you see the commercial with the little twinkle on the teeth? That's what it kind of looks like.
Well, I told them, I said, I want them to be Hollywood white. And I got out of the dentist, and they were actually... They were actually super painful. They were sensitive for a couple of days, but they were Hollywood white for a couple of days. And it's almost like wearing new sneakers. Like, I wanted to not smile so much because my teeth were, like, glow in the dark white.
That's funny.
Well, you know, help me make the cover, I guess. Thanks, Meg.
And you can find that also. We'll post a link to that on our Facebook page and on our website at Driving Radio Show.
Yeah.
And that's $22.50, but you said there's a coupon?
Yeah, on our Facebook page, I put the code that you can put in.
Okay.
And you can get a 50% off.
Great. Terrific. So that's only $11. You can buy that for a lot of different people.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great gift because even though we all have our smartphones and whatnot, I need a paper calendar because you need to look at it.
Yeah, you
cannot
do. You
go
do.
Without a paper calendar.
I have one hanging up above me. I have greyhounds on it. Yep, I have one every year. Yep.
Well maybe
now I'm going to have driving horses and greyhounds. I'll have two.
Yeah, you'll have two.
Very good. And what was the next thing?
Oh, my next thing is, I have not posted this on our Facebook page yet, but I will post it. So for horses, I like to get my horses a little stocking stuffer every year. And I love the Himalayan Salt Lick. That is like my most favorite thing. Because... You know, I know there's some people that say salt is just salt, but this Himalayan salt crystal has all the trace minerals they need. It's not just a mineral lick. It has salt and minerals, whereas the and you know, I'm kind of like an all natural kind of person, so I like the mineral lick because natural is not like a manufactured salt mineral block. Many of them contain molasses, which then just, of course, they lick it because it tastes good. Maybe not because they need the minerals or the salt. So I like the Himalayan salt crystal because it doesn't have any sugar in it. And also, it's cute. It's pretty. It's pink.
And it's important for your salt lick.
Yeah. And I actually get mine from, I don't know if any of you follow the Health Ranger on Facebook, but he's my favorite guy. And he talks all about like the current trends in natural medicine and also in for nutrition and about the things going on in, you know, big pharma and the food industry with GMOs. So that's a site that I follow because I'm interested in, you know, living a more natural life. And I'll post this this link to his site because he imports this Himalayan salt that you can get for you or your animals. So I like for my animals also to get human grade quality feeds for them.
And is this the Mike Adams, the health ranger?
Yep. Yep. The
health ranger. Has nothing to do with him being good looking while you follow him on Facebook, does it?
I'm shallow. So I.
I just looked him up. It is under Mike Adams, the health ranger on Facebook.
And then next week I'll have two more holiday gift ideas.
Very good. Well, we hope to continue that, as I said, through the holidays. We do that on all the shows. We just did our special fourth annual Equestrian Collections holiday gift buying episode on the Stable Scoop show 2 weeks ago. And that's a show where we dedicate and we actually pick 10 different products that we think would make good gifts for your husband, your wife, your kids, whoever the horsey crazy people are in your life. So that was a fun show that we do every year as well. I can't think of a better way to close out today's show, Wendy, than with a little Templeton Thompson holiday music. She was kind enough to host the morning show with us the other morning when Jamie wasn't there. And I don't know if the driving audience is all familiar with her, but Templeton is lives just outside of Nashville. She's a country singer, but she sings a lot about horses. If you've ever seen the video Girls and Horses, that's hers. And she's just a hell of a musician, and we like her a lot. So I thought we'd end the show today with a little holiday music from Templeton Thompson. Thank you so much, Wendy. We'll be back again next week.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn. And remember to keep the shiny side up.
I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas and hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Well, the snow is softly falling on the pasture, and there's a holly wreath hanging on the barn. Jingle bells are jingling, lights are all a twinkling, Christmas time is coming to the farm. Yeah, I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays, yeah. Christmas tree is loaded up with presents, and the kid and me just love this time of year. There's no dream too big for dreaming, ain't nothing like the feeling when all the ones you love are gathered near. So I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays.